Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, folks, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, brought to you by our good friends over at Superbook Sports. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn, at NBA Blackburn on Twitter, part of the Mile High Sports Podcast Network, and I'm excited to be joined by my guy, Swipa. We're on the weekends with Swipa Edition here, doing this a little bit differently. Didn't even like promo this or anything. We're going to go live on the Mile High Sports Twitter account as well as the YouTube, so hopefully y'all are having a great time. Y'all are having a great day on this Sunday. Plenty of time for lots of football takes later, but we're going to talk about the basketball game that was happening last night. As the Denver Nuggets, they win a game. They win a basketball game, Swipa. That was a basketball game, if you want to call it that. First of all, how you doing, man?
I'm great. Having a great day. Lamar Jackson versus Patrick Mahomes here in a couple hours, and then we got the 49ers versus Detroit. Detroit, they make a Super Bowl. I mean, it's a great day, man. A lot of great NBA games. Nuggets were able to get another win yesterday. Jokic continues to submit. I think he's going to be his third MVP year at this point. It's been a lot of fun, man. It's been a lot of fun this year.
Third MVP, huh? Third MVP after all that's been going on. It's we've got plenty to talk about on that regard, that's for sure. But I'd be a little bit off on that, and I think that there's a couple of other guys that we could talk about here. But look, the story yesterday was about two MVP candidates, was about two bigs, rivals week. I asked that question to Michael Malone pregame and postgame, basically, and like he doesn't see this as a rivalry. He sees this as an opportunity for Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid to go head up against each other, and the NBA is trying to push that as hard as they can. And lo and behold, just the on the off chance that a small injury could disrupt this thing, we had some thoughts that this could be disrupted on Saturday or on Friday. Like, there were at least some folks that believed that, hey, like, this might not happen because Embiid hurts his knee in Indiana. Jokic gets poked in the eye in New York. But one's probable on the injury report. One's not even on the injury report at all. And you just hope that this matchup can happen in Denver for the first time in 5 years, quite literally 5 years. And lo and behold, it did not happen yesterday, Swipa.
Yeah, I mean, I said this already, when I did Locked On Nuggets, that, their Matt Moore's clip was circulating, 76ers fans and all that stuff. But I said on Locked On that I think that if he is, meaning Embiid, he hurt his knee versus the Pacers. I saw him do it, and I figured it was the same knee, and it might have been serious, and so he would have sat out. But the thing was, Embiid didn't sit out. He kept playing the rest of the game. And so when he did that, I was like, well, obviously it's not that bad, thankfully, because he is having a spectacular year. You don't want injuries being in the way of anything. And so he wasn't on the injury report. And per Ramona Shelburne, she spoke to a team source, and it's very, very clear that he was active. He was not going to be hindered at all by this knee injury. And he was ready to go Saturday. And so it's funny, I actually got to the game yesterday when the 76ers were getting off the bus. The whole team got off the bus. After we heard from Michael Malone say that this is not a rivalry for them, that they do not view this as a matchup where they're trying to get Embiid versus Jokic and Jokic pop off on them, but this is get a win versus Philly. And then we go into the warm-up. We see everybody warm up per usual. Embiid comes out late, shoots a few jumpers, and we literally, quite literally, so there's two different sections kind of in the press row, main section. Ryan is in one, I'm in the other. And I, in my section, Ryan, didn't get the news that Embiid was out until people next to me, including Philadelphia 76ers beat writers, had said right before tip-off that Joel Embiid is out, per Adrian Wojnarowski. The beat writers didn't even know that this was happening.
No idea.
So everybody was confused, and then I kid you not, I remember one of the beat writers came up to me and said specifically, I asked him, I said, well, didn't he get hurt versus the Pacers? And he said, yes. And I said, well, it's because of his knee, I imagine, that he's sitting out. They said, yes. But the reason that he stayed in for the Pacers game was to see if he can keep that 30 and 10 streak going. And my whole thing is just like, look, there's this like narrative that's developing online. And I'm not going to hold you around. I'm probably done with the whole like Embiid thing for the rest of the season. I mean, cause honestly, like at this point, it really just doesn't matter. I think that like he's having a great year. We know who he's played against. We know the games he hasn't played. We know he's also injury prone. We know he needs to get it done in the playoff past April. And he has to load manage in order to get there. And he already has had two knee injuries. And we're in January. So more than likely, he will be hampered by April, unfortunately, unless he were to get a cleanup operation if he needs to get it, or sit out several weeks and let his knee get healthy. And that way he's ready for April. But we don't know if he's going to do any of those things. But obviously, we hope the best for him because he's an incredible player. He's one of the 75 best players of all time. You know, if you ask me personally, and there's some players on the top 75 that I would absolutely move out to put Joel Embiid in there, including some in this era. So I think the issue is that it's the way it happened. And it's the fact that last year, and I think, Ryan, I think the reason why people outside of this fan base, but even I would say when I've seen Lakers beat writers talk about this, there are national people making jokes about this now that Embiid is actively running away from Denver. So this is not just a local thing. This is a national story at this point. And I think a lot of this is, Embiid was cool like when it was just the rivalry and it was just basketball. But I think a lot of people are just summarily dismissing the kind of vitriol that was thrown at Jokic way for the last several seasons for winning MVPs and not making it to an NBA final, including why he didn't win the MVP last year. But then last year, the thing that took it all over, took the cake, and again, Ryan Stone on tripping, when Embiid's supposed to play Joker, I think on a Monday or something like that, after he played versus a back-to-back versus the Warriors and the Suns, he sits out a Sunday, and then he's supposed to be at work on Monday, and then he puts a Shams article out, right? And everybody outside of some Philly fans felt like he took a clear shot at Jokic about analytics and defense, about having a pressure on him, even though there's a player in the league with multiple MVPs that hasn't won anything either. And then he didn't play. So it's not as if, like, it's that. It was the comments he made to Draymond when he lost and had 46 versus the Warriors last year. And then he told Draymond as soon as they lost, like you said, that he was the most difficult player you've had to guard in the league since LeBron. I wanted to take that mantle from him. Like, it's just like a lot of stuff. And, you know, Philly fans are sitting here saying, like, well, if only the Nuggets fans acted like Jokic and stuff. It's like,
come on, man. Like, come on. Jokic, we saw you. There is film of what you did. that's my Nikias impression.
But that's what he does, though. Jokic never gets in the mud. He didn't get in the mud with Kendrick Perkins last year. No. But the difference is, Ryan, you are in media. I am in media. All everybody, we're storytellers. So, like, we're not going to forget the story. This is how we got here. And I think a lot of this is, man, it's just years of irritation and frustration with the fact that every year there's, like, an excuse for why it's not happening in Denver every year, except until this last summer when Jokic walked through the finals. Every year, there's a reason why Jokic is not on this level, can't do this, can't do that. I would rather have Embiid. I'd rather have this and that. And then that's where you got all this stuff from, bro. So it's a lot. It's years worth of buildup.
So here's where I'm at. And I know, I mean, look, there are circumstances that I'm sure led to this happening, that I'm sure, like, the training staff was probably not comfortable with the way that Embiid was doubled over dealing with the altitude in Denver. And they're like, we watched him warm up. We watched everybody kind of go through this process, just wanted to see what was happening. And you could see he wasn't, like, this wasn't a glorious warm up or anything like that. He was just taking a bunch of jumpers and didn't look very comfortable. And I can understand that. Why in the world was he not on the injury report? Why was he not there? What happened? What happened between Friday and Saturday? that he was not on the injury report. This was a whole bit to do made. Ramona Shelburne tweets out that, hey, he is not going to be on the injury report. Mm-hmm. Nikola Jokic, probable for this game, despite being like stabbed in the eye by evil Dante DiVincenzo. Like, it's crazy how you can go from active and available and all of these things. There's no questions about the status or anything like that to out at this stage. There's no, like, mm-hmm. there's no reason for that. So what happened? I am not as frustrated with Embiid. I'm frustrated with him. Don't get me wrong. I am more frustrated with the Sixers organization for not protecting mm-hmm. their own player in this, mm-hmm. for being dumb, for setting him up to fail in this. And then they ultimately decided, hey, you know what? Let's just get out from under that anyway. We're gonna protect you too. Like, this was going to be his opportunity to have the moment that Jokic had at the 2022 year, where he goes in, Bones Highland has a game, DeMarcus Cousins has a game, but it was without Jamal Murray, it was without Michael Porter, and you go into hostile territory despite all of this, and you win. And Embiid, he's just never going to be, like, he's never going to be in perfect form. He's never going to be somebody who's like at tip-top shape coming into Denver, because it's always going to be some circumstance. It's always going to be something that keeps him from, oh, it's not 100%. I'm not feeling 100%. There's something wrong. I just, like, I don't care, man. Like, this is what the NBA is supposed to be about. This is what competing is supposed to be about.
We saw it for LeBron's death yesterday.
Even when you're not in the perfect circumstance to survive, even when you're not in the perfect circumstance to play, you still do, because you're a competitor and because you're not just going to walk away. You're not just going to lie over or like lie down and roll over. And it was very dumb, because the entire NBA had been hyping this up since NAM as, hey, you know what? We don't really care what Joker does in Philly. We care what Joel does in Denver, because that's never happened. Like, you hear all of the national voices saying that too. So, like, what is the disconnect here? Why is this a thing? If you were really concerned, then why did you go back into Indiana? Was it really about a streak? Was it really about numbers? You might be right. And if that's the case, then the priorities are just out of whack.
Yeah, and again, I think, and I want to be clear, when in November, when Embiid started this run, I said, if he makes it to the finals this year, he's going to be one of the 40 best players ever, even if he doesn't win.
Absolutely.
He's that great.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this comes down to, it's just yesterday, bro, everybody and their mother was expecting that matchup. And it just, even Michael Malone, and this is the key thing. We talked to Michael Malone after the game. Michael Malone specifically stated that he does not know how a player goes from active to out right before the game, and there was nothing on the injury report about it. Because what he said was that changed the entire atmosphere of the game and also changed the game plan. Because they went in there with a very clear game plan, with a very clear expectation, and they find out right before tip-off that it was not going to be that case. So I think that this is just it's a concoction of scenarios and events and circumstances that led up to this. I think you're right. The 76ers should have done a better job. But at this point, I think that everybody in Denver, I'll say this. I think that there are some people going way too far on the 76ers and Embiid thing. At the end of the day, if basketball is hoops, it's really not that big of a deal. This doesn't ultimately matter, like, beyond the fact that it's a sport and we care about it. I think that, for me, I'm kind of over the whole thing as a whole, because it's just like we're never going to have, like, what we're hoping for. It's never going to look like what it's supposed to be.
This rivalry is dead. This is not a rivalry. Right. Everybody can try and concoct it into a rivalry. These guys love each other. They care about each other. That was clear from Jokic postgame. That was clear from Embiid postgame, by the way. Like, both of these guys, mm-hmm. like, at least outward facing when it's not Shams articles, like, they are going to be like full on supportive of each other, especially at this mm-hmm. stage, knowing kind of like what it takes to be at this level night in and night out. I get that. But I'm just like, everybody in both organizations, I think, is probably done with this. This is completely out of whack. And you just had this matchup between LeBron and Steph like, which was way incredible. Better, way more of a rivalry. This Jokic Embiid thing is, it's just like, it's not the same. And trying to force it into something is wrong. And the NBA has to get back, in my opinion, to making rivalries about teams, making rivalries about like organizations going against each other and deep rooted hatred and things like that. And I know the player movement era has really like screwed with that, but I think that they should be trying to get away from situations like this where it's entirely dependent on two players, because we are kind of in a different situation. Jokic might be a face of the NBA. Embiid might be a face of the NBA, but they're not LeBron or Steph at this stage. Like, they're just not, from a marketing and from a wanting to be at the center of it all kind of face and wanting the responsibilities that it takes to be there. Like, Denver doesn't want that. They've never wanted that. And clearly Embiid doesn't want it either.
Well, I think some of this is, I think the Steph LeBron thing yesterday, bro, LeBron, 39 years old, dealing with busted Nixon act because he's 39 years old and he's been to 10 finals, basically. Like, the dude, he was 36 incredible. Points, 20 rebounds, a career high, and 12 assists. And he was 12 of 21 from two, 2 of 4 from three, 66 from the free throw line, game-winning free throw, a 65 from shooting.
Incredible free throws, by the way. Incredible.
On the road in San Francisco to do that. So some of this is, it's like, and Steph Curry, by the way, not to be outdone, had 46 points, that it takes for you to get through, to be able to put up 22 three-pointers, go 40% from three, and that kind of run. Those, and they're both 35 plus years old, so I think that's what it is, man. I think with Joker, I think it's just nobody else that's going to be in that category with him. That's just pure. Like, you're just not going to get consistent show up every game, every level. And I think that's just something that we got to just be okay with. Like, maybe they're going to be in a regular season, the best player on every given night, because he's not going to give you playoff effort. You know, you're going to get it. Yesterday, he would have been fine if he scored 8 points. He was trying.
He was trying
to do that. But he had to score in the second half for them to win, so he scored 20. But yeah, you're not going to get that from Jokic the regular season. At this point, it's about building championships and legacy. And he already knows my time to shine is going to be in the playoff when we're down 5 going into the fourth quarter. Or we're with a 2-point lead with 5 minutes left, and I got to close the game out for my squad. Like, this is where we are with Joker. So I think everything else, man, is like, I really, truly, truly, truly hope the absolute best for Embiid and for the Sixers. I mean, I hope he's healthy. I hope he goes on the best run he's ever had in his career. I hope that he finds like all the stuff that he like wants out of his career, everything. I really do, like, genuinely hope the best for him and for the organization, because this is what they did. They literally tanked for 5 seasons, and Philly fans went through that tanking for 5 seasons to get this dude. And they lost Ben Simmons. They lost Jimmy Butler. They've had a whole bunch of stuff happen. And Embiid has been hurt every single playoff run, and he already has 2 injuries right now. So for me, genuinely, like, I truly hope Embiid has like a great rest of the season and he finally makes a really, really important playoff run. And I hope that the 76ers get what they want as well, because at the end of the day, bro, like, I just really think, man, at this point, like, that whole chapter is just closed. And I think, like, the reason we get so into it, Ryan, is because we're watching what people are saying about Joke in this process or about the Nuggets in this process. So it's like, and then we're jumping in there like, well, no, this is actually like what's going on. And, you know, even yesterday, you know, Kyle Newbick, who I love, you know, he's a really good dude. You know, we follow each other. Like, he joked and said that Paul Reed was out playing or kicking Jokic's butt in the first half or whatever. And he had a better game, you know, had 30 and 13 that game.
Yeah.
And I think even stuff like that, it's like, it's hard when you hear it from Philly because of everything around the conversation about Joker. But genuinely, Paul Reed was incredible yesterday. But we've been saying play Paul Reed for 3 years.
Now we'll talk about it.
Doc Rivers just didn't want to do it. So I would love to have Paul Reed in there. Him with Murray and all that, bro. He made 4 jumpers in the first half. And he made 2 3-pointers yesterday. I was like, all right, bro.
He's like hitting step back threes and shit. Like, he's just doing everything. Great. It's just, yeah, hey, more power to him, man. But like, look, I think I may still have a little bit too much hate in my heart for that stance in which, like, man, they've made their own bed in terms of how they've approached this situation with the Nuggets and how they've approached the situation with Joker. And like, I just don't have any sympathy, you know, like I'm not going to sit here and say, yeah, no, I really like would love to see Embiid succeed. I would love to see like the Sixers succeed because they, I don't know, man, like it's just, there's been a lot of pretty ugly shit around this. And I'm over it. I don't want to be stooping down to that level.
What do you think for you was the most, you feel like it was the Perkins stuff that happened last March, but that's the most incensed moment for you that I guess around this whole thing?
Yeah, I think that really like that made it worse. That made it so much worse than it could have been. And the fact that Philly fans and Philly writers and media were running with that narrative was what really set me off. Like there, it's one thing if one person says it and one person that like people have varying amounts of respect for in this business, but like it's another thing entirely if your entire like city is really getting behind these stupid narratives around like, man, oh, Joker does just
analytics.
Yeah,
it's soft like, and all that stuff. He doesn't like, show up when it matters. And
we are watching the same games. Yeah. We are watching these games, right. And we're watching what Joker does, and we understand how good he is. And we understood how good he was last year when that was ripped away from him, when he was the best player in the regular season. And it was it was dumb. It was entirely unfortunate and unnecessary. And like, just because you're trying to get your own guy something, like you're going to stoop to the, like the nether realm and like take all these stupid takes and try to put this out into the world. And it was just unnecessary and unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, that whole episode is over because, you know, by the Western Conference Finals, after the end, you know, Kirk Perkins was calling Jokic the best in the world, so he had a, like a nice little flip in like a 2 month span, which was funny. But yeah, I think that wouldn't even, I'm not blaming Philly for it all. That's not Philly right there. But that was just, that's where the conversation went, where it's like, you know, Joker, Steve Nash and Dirk, and then left out Magic Johnson for some reason. And you know me, like I'm always very clear and very outspoken about social stuff. And I'm like, when I heard that, I couldn't wrap my head that like this is a conversation. And then right before Joker got, I think the 100 triple doubles, I think that's when Perkins made the stat padding comments and all that stuff. So it was just a lot. I think Joker in particular, there's just a lot of like narratives and conversations and like, you know, Max Kellerman talking about, like, is he even a top five player you want going into the playoff this year? Colin Cowherd, you know, Anthony Davis, you would rather have him going into the playoff. Like, we heard it all. And then summarily 30, 13, and 10, 16, and 4. And then even still after that, people are like, we played a bunch of playing teams. It's like, okay, all right. So that's what I'm saying, bro. We're in a great place now because, you know, people are saying now, the West is better than it was last year. The Thunder, the Clippers, the Suns, the Lakers. Dude. They're all going to be – the Wolves are all going to be much more of a challenge. So guess what? If people are acting like the Nuggets are the outright favorite, but the West is deep. And I'm like, all right, cool. So now, since the Nuggets are not going to be in a favorable situation anymore, apparently, now we get to see what Jokic is really made of. That's what I'm hearing. So and I think in the East, we know what it's going to be. It's going to be the Heat, the Sixers, the Bucks, the Celtics, maybe the Knicks, apparently. So, hey, you know, Embiid can have plenty of opportunities, and I think this is going to be a great run. And Giannis, you know, we got Giannis coming in on Monday, and Giannis is sitting there. Giannis fans like he's being disrespected. He's not in the top two, top three in the MVP race again, which I understand. Consensus top two player for the last several years, but Shea and Luka are having these crazy runs, so. Look, basketball is great, man. Like, basketball is a great sport. Ultimately, I love the game. We are both now living off the game of basketball in a lot of ways. And so, like, I always want to make sure to honor that. And I'm going to honor the people we get to cover, you know. And Embiid is a tremendous player. He truly is. I think I am now at the point, though, like I said, where that whole saga is like, you know, cool, man. Good luck to everybody.
I'm done with it. We don't have to talk about it again. I will make, most likely I'll make Jokic MVP arguments, and a lot of them are going to be based around availability and things like that. So we could talk about that a little bit more in the next segment, but let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to chat about maybe some of this game that did just happen, and then we'll talk MVP narratives, and next week should be good. But first, everybody, this podcast, as you know, is we got to pay our bills. It's got brought to you by our Superbook Sports, who are changing the game, and you can win some money with Superbook, the most trusted name in sports gambling, with a direct line to Las Vegas. And now you can use that promo code MILEHIGH and score up to $250 with their first bet bonus. Win or lose, Superbook will match your first bet up to $250 with promo code MILEHIGH. Download the Superbook Sports app, enter that promo code, and you'll get $250 courtesy of Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back on Weekends with Swipa.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we're back. Pickaxe and Roll, Ryan Blackburn here. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning into the show. Really appreciate a popping audience here, as we are very excited to now talk about what was an atrocity of a basketball game. This was that's how I described it last night, and it was, I think it's fair. I think it was an unfortunate game, but I do think that there were some, at least some notable takeaways from it. Where do you want to start? You want to start with Jamal, or do you want to start with just like the energy that Denver had and like just didn't really bring to it?
Yeah, I mean, I just can't, you know, I know for me at least, as an ex-athlete, or I guess an athlete, because I don't think there's ever transition out of that. Bro, letdowns are real. Like, and Michael Malone said this after the game, like, it's not like an easy thing to go from, oh, we're going to play versus one of the very best players in the world, to we're not playing that player at all, and now we're a whole game plan that's thrown out the window. That it's hard to just bounce back and be like, all right, cool, let's go dominate this team. When have the Nuggets done that anyway? Like, they're not like – the Nuggets are kind of just winning right now. They're not, like, putting teams away. Like, they're kind of coasting through, like, even in the dominant wins or the win, we're still going to just, you know, kind of mess around here or there with the Pacers, with the Wizards and all that
stuff. Yeah, I would say they're just not in great form. Like, Denver as a team right now is not in great form. They played a great game against the Celtics. But it was around this time, it was around this time, around January 28th, where Denver kind of got out of form a little bit, where they went into Philly, they played in Milwaukee, they had some tough runs, and it wasn't perfect. But right before then, they were playing great. They were playing great basketball. And I think right before this year, they're playing great. They're playing great basketball, and you knew exactly what you were going to get from them night in, night out. Yeah, they're just not perfect right now. And then this is going to take a little bit, but I think they know exactly what level they have to reach eventually. But it's clear that they're not like at that place. And Jokic put up 6 points in the first half and just wasn't really looking at the rim for much of it. Murray was like, he had 20 points in the first half and then 3 in the second. And I think there are some criticisms there that are fair. They did go to a box and one on him yesterday, and like that certainly hurts. Like that's a tough thing to sort of navigate, but
that was great. Nurse is incredible, man.
Nurse is a great coach. He gets them to scrap. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, go zone, go box and one, and don't have Jokic in the game, and make Murray beat you. And then if not, box and one, make somebody else beat you. I love it. I thought it was a great strategy.
Yeah, it makes sense. And like Reggie really struggled yesterday, and Peyton Watson figured some stuff out in the second half.
Yo, wasn't great in the first. Yeah. Can we just talk about Peyton, man? Like,
sure.
Look, you've heard what I said. I think that he could be like, if he were in the tap fully into it, he could be like an all-star level, fringe all-star level player. Based on the development you've seen from him as a transition player, as a pull-up shooter from mid-range, as a spot-up three-point shooter, with his defense, like, Is your expectation of Peyton Watson, is it rising at all?
Of course. Yeah. I think one of the things that you notice in situations like this is how smooth it is with him, how smooth he is. And just like the decisions are easy. They are not. And like he transitions into those decisions quicker and quicker and quicker and with more like poise than I think you'd expect from a guy of his age and a guy of his experience level. It is an unfortunate kind of like coincidence that Christian Brown, like the decisions seem to be getting harder for him over the course of this year. But like it has been interesting. It's been fun to watch Piwott as he continues to find his groove and to find like the plays that he's supposed to be making within the flow of the offense, but then also understanding he can push the tempo. He can dictate terms a little bit. It's not just about what everything is going on around him. Like he can dictate terms. He can put pressure on the opposing team. And whether that's with scoring or playmaking, like that seems to have really had an impact on him.
Man, I think his game, bro. Not, I joked about this when he played versus OKC, he had that reverse dunk on the baseline. I said that he was like a young Kobe, like a really young Kobe, like rookie year. Bro, Peyton just has this like smoothness to his like dribble, his pull-up shooting. I mean, he's going to get a hezzy in there at some point. He has that little turnaround fade. I'm just like – and I said already, I'm super early. I already said, this is going to be a player the Nuggets are, like, paying a lot of money to that they're going to have to make some really difficult conversations with. Because, I mean, he has two more years left on this deal. I don't – by the time he gets to where he will be, bro, he's going to be like a 25 – I think he could legitimately be $25, $30 million a year. That's how good he is. And so I know that sounds crazy, but bro, think about it. He's already like the best wing defender in the league.
It's pretty good. It's really good.
and then he should offensively like, you know, going up.
So I don't think that he's the best wing defender in the league.
No, I'm not saying like on ball, yeah. But like the metrics say that like rim protection, on ball, defensive, all that stuff. Like he's in the conversation.
He's got a lot going on. There's right. No doubt about it. Like I think some of the circumstances when you're mostly guarding bench guys, that certainly helps. But like
he's guarding some stars. Peyton Watson. Pull up the Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant highlights, sir.
here's what I'm trying to do. I am trying to not set him up to fail because it is so.
He's from Cali. He's from Long Beach. What do you mean? Set him up to fail. You know where he's from? They only know
basketball culture there. That's
all he knows.
Basketball city. I grew up knowing
Kevin Durant and Paul George.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. So like, if that is what it's going to be, if that's what it's going to be for, because he played the sixth most minutes yesterday. He was the first, like not first off the bench. Like Reggie was the first off the bench with him, but like he played more.
Stop doing that when Julius Strother comes back.
I am that
Reggie Murray lineup, bro.
They're gonna play Jamal, and then like once Julian comes back, if he does, because like I mean we're getting some weird things from Malone in terms of like, man, is he actually gonna be healthy? Is he actually gonna come back? Like he. Because he said he's not close, basically. That's not great. But yeah, I think if Denver kind of gets to a place, like I think that some of the lineups that Denver can get to with Jamal, Julian Strother, Peyton Watson, Michael Porter, and let's say Aaron Gordon, for example, like this shit's crazy. Like there's some talent there. And there's a lot of reasons to believe in a group like that playing pretty well in the playoffs. Now, Is Julian going to be ready for that? I have no idea. Like we haven't seen him in a month. So like, I'm very, very curious to see what he looks like.
It's a knee injury.
Yeah. And so if that's the case, then look, maybe just replace him with KCP or maybe put in Justin Holiday in there.
That's what I've been thinking. Like Justin was fine in the stints he was starting for both when he started for KCP and for AG.
Yeah. Like I can see a Jamal, Justin Holiday, Peyton Watson, Michael Porter, Aaron Gordon lineup pretty consistently coming off the bench in the playoffs. And that's just like the time where you get Joker and KCP some rest. I can see that absolutely, but look, Peyton has earned this. Peyton, there's no question in my mind that Peyton has earned this.
Sixth best player in the roster right now.
Yeah. right now.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Right now, at this current moment, because, I mean, some of it is because Reggie's fallen off, but, like, Reggie has been good for a long time, and now this last month he's been pretty bad, just pretty consistently. Peyton has been rising, and Malone commented on it yesterday. He said he was very, very excited about his development, and he's very, very excited about where it continues to go from here. Like, now he's not going to hand anything to him, but as you've seen, like, he's closed with him on several occasions, and I really thought he was going to close with him yesterday too, and I thought he would have earned it. But credit to Michael Porter for when he came back into the game, hit a big three. Credit to him for handling some of the, like, I don't think that Porter was perfect in his minutes, like, in the second half.
Where, plus, like, 18.
I know. Don't get me wrong. Like, I hear you, but, like,
well, just, I mean, let me ask you this. So for Porter, because sometimes it's like that, right? Where his number, well, he had 28 yesterday, so he played well. But, like, sometimes his number won't even be like that, but he's still, like, maybe leading the team in plus minus. What do you think it is about, like, Porter's value for you on the Nuggets that just makes him to where, like, he's almost always a winning player?
I think it's the attention that he brings, where the opposing team knows that they can't leave him. And the moment that they do, he's going to go like 50% from three in the corners. Like, that's just, that's such an important thing. But it does take, like, I think some of it is circumstantial, like, right? Like, some of it is like, hey, Jamal at various points, like, I thought Jamal, like, set him up pretty well in the fourth quarter. I thought that there were a lot of plays where Jamal's receiving a lot of attention. He swings the ball over to Mike. Mike creates something. Peyton had some good plays where he set up Mike for sure. Jokic, I think, had a kickout pass, and KCP had the swing pass to him in the corner for that key bucket in the fourth. But, like, look, there's a lot of ways. Like, the team, I think, wants to find him on these open threes because of how dynamic and how good he is as a shooter. I think the defense understands that. They know what they want. Like, they know what the Nuggets want, and they react to that. And then once they overreact, then, like, it leaves the other guys to go 4-on-4 a lot of the time.
Yeah. So I do think, man, that, you know, I think yesterday showed me that the Nuggets are, they're not cruising, because Malone talked about this after one of the practice. They're not cruise control, but they're just like, not yet.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. It's just like, not yet.
Also, something that Matt said to me yesterday resonates with me a lot. Like, players don't need a ton of rest, but when you give them a block of time off, they will look like amazing after that. Just completely different in terms of how good they are. And I think Denver, like, once they get to that All-Star break, which is coming up in, like, it's probably 2.5-3 weeks from now. Once they get to that All-Star break, and then on the other side of it, they will probably look and feel like a different team from a pace perspective. And
remember what the Lakers did last year too, bro. They went crazy.
Exactly. And so, like, Denver's a veteran team. They understand what they're getting into. I'm a little bit curious to see how Peyton handles that, because he continues to ramp up. And,
well, Peyton's going to be there for All-Star weekend. So, I mean,
for the Rising Stars game?
Oh yeah, 1,000%. He'll be there.
All right. That'd be dope.
I feel like he would have to be there if he's like the, you know, I don't know. You feel like let me say that. He would be on the squad for the sophomores if it was up to me, but, you know.
Let's go through now let's do this. Now I'm curious. Let's go through the 2022 draft, and you're going to tell me whether they deserve
to draft him at 11.
I think we're going to tell if they deserve to be there for Rising Stars game. Paolo Banchero. Okay.
So he's probably shouldn't be there.
Chet Holmgren. Jabari Smith.
He shouldn't be there.
Yeah, I think they'll be there. Jabari Smith Jr., Keegan Murray.
He'll be there.
Jaden Ivey.
He will not be there.
We'll see. Like, he puts up numbers, and, like, that, I do agree with you, but, like, putting anybody on Detroit right now feels like a farce. Benedict Mathurin.
He's kind of not been as effective this year. So I feel he's a toss up talent wise. He should be there, but play, I don't know if he would be there this year.
Shaedon Sharpe.
Yeah, easy.
Shaedon Sharpe's fun. Like, Dyson Daniels.
No, will not be there.
Jeremy Sochan.
They might put him in, but his number, well, he might be there, but like he's like a pure defensive player, still figuring out a little bit, but he could be there.
Yeah. I'm skipping Johnny Davis, skipping Osman Jang. Jalen Williams will definitely be in there, J-Dub. Jalen Duren. I don't know. That one's a little bit shaky. Ochai Agbaji, no. Mark Williams, no. AJ Griffin, no.
From Charlotte?
Who?
Mark Williams from which team?
Charlotte. Charlotte. He's been out for like a month as well. Yeah, like he's been out since like December 8th. Mm-hmm. AJ Griffin's out of that. Tari Eason probably in.
What are they doing with AJ Griffin, by the way? Please trade him.
Dude, I have no idea.
That dude's good.
It's so funny. Like in that game that they faced against Luka and the Mavs, like their bench was basically Patty Mills, Garrison Matthews, Trent Forrest, and Onyeka Okongwu. And AJ Griffin was one of two active players that sat that didn't play.
Can they trade for him? He is a good player.
He's a good player, but also like there are some reasons why he's not in. Like he's not healthy for like not entirely healthy, but like he also just doesn't defend at all. Like, and that's like you got to defend in Denver.
I don't know who's defending on that roster, but go ahead, keep going.
That's true. Tari Eason will be there. Dalen Terry, no. Jake LaRavia, no. Malachi Branham, no. Christian Brown. Probably not. Like he's definitely not at this stage. Walker Kessler, maybe, but like
he could be.
Yeah, just not a sexy game. So like I could understand if they didn't add him. David Roddy, no. Marjon Beauchamp, no. Blake Wesley, no. Wendell Moore, no. Nikola Jovic,
no.
He's been starting for them a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if he has enough cachet yet.
Yeah, that's true. Patrick Baldwin, Ty no. Washington,
no.
And then you get
didn't to you want Ty Washington?
Say what?
Didn't you want Ty Washington?
No, I mean I thought he'd be fine. Like right. I thought he'd be a decent point guard for them, but like I glad that they got Peyton in retrospect. Like clearly you get
think the Nuggets don't need to get any more small players ever again. So
yeah,
I'm completely fine with that. So Peyton, what is that? How many names is that? That's clear ahead of him. Nine?
It's probably like nine, like Paolo, Chet, Jabari, Keegan. I'd put Mather in ahead of him. Shaedon Sharpe, Jeremy Sochan, Jalen Williams, and then maybe one of Tari Eason or Walker Kessler. Like,
that's solid, bro.
I think it's fair. And like guys in the second round, like Andrew Nembhard probably deserves to be there.
Andrew Cole, bro. Oh man, I can't believe that.
Yeah, that would be a good one to have. But like nobody else in the second round outside of him, maybe Vince Williams. Like he's been starting for Memphis.
Cool.
Like,
he's been playing really well.
He's been pretty good. But yeah, no, I think there's a reason to credit Peyton. Like he's been great, and he's playing a real role on a championship contender. Which is like, how can you say you can't really say that about so many of these guys? So like, it's a completely fair and understandable take to have Peyton in this rookie sophomore game.
Yeah, I think Julian, he if he would have kept playing without this missed games, he might have been in the conversation for second team all rookie, but he would have had to kept playing and increase play time. But you know, he's obviously out of that now. How do you feel about the Hunter Tyson, Jalen Pickett selected at this point? You thought they should have?
I was worried when they did that and when they drafted three guys, because I thought that they needed more playable talent right now, because I didn't expect here's the thing. I did not expect any of Julian Strother, Jalen Pickett, or Hunter Tyson to like be helpful players this year. It was all well and good when they had like, when they got Christian Brown to do it last year, but it was also, it's very unlikely in those situations for that to happen. So like for them to try to strike lightning twice and for them to have so many young guys on their bench, I was a little bit worried. Now, could it be great next year? Sure. But like those guys have to prove it. And like Denver's right. Got to give them opportunities in order to do that. I just don't think that Michael Malone's ready to do that, nor should he want to, like in this stage. Like, why would you want to throw Hunter Tyson in there or Jalen Pickett in there when you've got these veterans that have been around the block and know what to do? Like, it's just, to me, it was odd.
Yeah, I mean, personally, the only thing I would make to change out of making the lineup is Les Murray, Reggie. I'm absolutely putting Justin Holiday back in there as a two guard at backup two. I just think at this point we're just Malone needs to do with Monte and Murray. I'm like, I don't want 2 point guards out there and when they can't defend. But remember, I was heavy on Chris Dunn this summer. Yeah. And I know what Murray needs. That's what Murray needs. He needs another ball handler, which Chris Dunn can do, because he also had a triple double last year, closed out the season. People are like, well, that's fake. And he comes back this year, he's been freaking great. For cheap, by the way. And he's also one of the best clear POA defending point guards in the league. So that makes perfect sense. Now you got Chris Dunn moving to Shefflin. You got Jamal Murray off ball. So for me, it's like, I just don't need to see that. I would much rather have Murray have somebody that's a good, a decent POA defender next to him. He just doesn't have to worry about like all that other stuff. Because if in the playoff, like, you want both. You want ball handling and defense and penetration, which is what Bruce brought. So that's why, like, you know, Reggie can get back that offensively, but I think you're not going to see that from Reggie until we get to the playoff run.
I think the most important thing that Denver can do going forward is add a big man that can play a little bit. Four or five, maybe somebody that could shoot a little bit, maybe somebody that could roll a little bit, maybe somebody that could pass a little bit. Like, what I'm talking about is like basically a starting caliber player, but they need to find somebody on the cheap that can do some of those things. And whether that's trading for somebody who you think can represent that, or like, I just don't think that you should rely on Aaron Gordon to be able to do that for the entire playoff run. Like, you got to find somebody that you can build in some rest for Jokic. You can build in some rest for AG. You can find a guy who you can like develop some chemistry with Jamal and whoever is running the second unit, and just somebody who could like be there consistently, because Zeke has clearly not been it. And DeAndre, like, God bless him. Like, he's doing his best out there. And like, it's just unfortunate that he has to. So like, I think that's where I would be like really focusing my resources.
Based on what you've seen, Ismail Kamagate, do you think he has a chance of coming over next year?
I haven't even thought about him once this year. This is the first time I'm thinking about Kamagate.
I saw him a couple games. I saw him in his summer league, and he's just like really underdeveloped still. So like, probably like a 3 or 4 year project. But yeah, I agree. Like, I would love to have like young DJ in the second round, like where you just have a really explosive vertical spacer as your backup big. We just haven't had that.
You know who represents that pretty well? Isaiah Jackson in Indiana. Like somebody like that. You've been on that. Like, I do think that Jalen Smith is bigger than him, by the way.
but he feels small. Like, he just feels really small until the court. He's not explosive at all either.
Yeah, I know. All right, hey, let's take one more break. When we come back, we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about some of these games upcoming and just do that mess. But first, let's hear from Kim Becker.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Final segment here, Pickaxe and Roll, joined by my guy Swipe a Cam on this Weekends with Swipe a episode. Got some fun things coming up on the channel in this afternoon. We've got a video going up at, I think, about 5:30 Mountain on MHS that is a Nuggets versus Bucks preview. So we'll talk about that a little bit here, but make sure to go click on that video if you want a more in-depth breakdown of that. And then Swipe and I, we picked our All-Star Reserves, and that video should be going up sometime early next week before the All-Star Reserves are announced. So make sure to go check that out as well and subscribe to the MHS YouTube as we continue to grow that. Been a really, really good week of content, and unfortunate that this game just had to end the way that it did.
Yeah, but it's okay, man. Again, seriously, prioritize health over everything else.
Yeah, that's understandable. Okay, so we're not going to go full in depth on Jokic versus Giannis, Jokic versus the Bucks, because we did that in the video. We don't want to like sell too much of that content. But like, Denver's got four games coming up this week. Jokic versus Giannis and the Bucks on Monday. Then they travel to OKC on Wednesday and face the Thunder in what is probably the biggest game of the season so far in terms of like whether Denver is going to actually be a one seed or not, whether they're going to like take home court advantage and match up with a team like that. Also, like, that's a prospective playoff matchup, so should be very interesting. And then Denver comes back and they play the rare double header against Portland on Friday and Sunday at home. Like, Portland's going to be an absolute hell. And Denver's going to, like, they're going to screw up that Sunday game so badly. Like, it is going to be hilarious how close that game is, despite the fact that there's no way that it should be. But they are absolutely going to screw that up, and it's going to be very, very funny.
That game, that Sunday game, has more national press than the Bucks game does on Monday. That game's on NBA TV. The Bucks game is on altitude.
That's, yeah, we've talked about that before. Like, how in the world does the NBA go so hard on Jokic versus Embiid and then put both Jokic versus Giannis matchups on Mondays? With no national presence at all. Like, that's insane.
They don't care. They don't think it's worth anything. They just don't. They don't think it's worth anything.
It's like, man, got so many of these matchups, like, that you're showing Wemby, or you're showing, like Zion, or and the Pelicans and teams like that. And, like, you're trying to really, really
Jokic show Luka is always a big story. Jokic Embiid is a big story. Jokic Steph is a big story. Jokic Braun is a big story.
Yeah.
Jokic Giannis. Huh. Jokic Giannis. I can't see nothing.
Yeah, no, it feels like the NBA just has no idea what the hell's going on. Like, those two teams, I know we've talked about this before. They could realistically have matched up in the NBA Finals in any of the previous, like, 4 years, given health. Any of them. And the fact that they haven't, I think, is more circumstance than it is, like, actual, like, basketball conversation stuff. But, like, these are the two best players of the last 5 years. Like, I know people will throw Embiid into that, and, like, he's a great regular season option. But, like, Giannis will at least show up for the most part in these playoff situations. And, like, I can't believe that this is not more of a story. It's crazy.
I have no idea what it is. Like, I just think the NBA missed a step. Now, let me give Ferrari a minute 51. I'm going to say this week, I'm saying they go 4-0. The reason they're going 4-0, because they're going to beat the Bucks, I think, at home. I think the Thunder, here's the thing. The last time they played the Thunder, it was the second night of a back-to-back.
Oh, yeah, they got steamrolled.
And then the first time they played, they lost by one, KCP wasn't there. The Nuggets, when they last played the Thunder fully healthy, beat them by 33 points. Now, I'm not saying they're going to wash them, but I do expect after they got trounced, they scored 93 points in that game. They're going to come out for blood in OKC. So I do think, and then versus the Portland Trailblazers, I just think that you have to win those games. I do think they go 4-0 this week. Can they just win 6-2? On this stretch of game, 6-2, their last eight.
Malone was talking about it. He was very adamant about, man, this is the toughest 10-game stretch of our season. And he said we're 5-2 prior to the Philly game, and then obviously they win that one.
Yeah, so 6-2 and Bucks Thunder. So I think they win all four of these games this week, and that would put them 10-2 over their last 12, and that would put them at So if they win four straight, that will put them at 22-6 in their last 28.
It's a pretty good record. That's a pretty good record.
Like literally, like just kind of like we're just kind of just coasting through some of these games a little bit.
It's so funny. Like it's just you always look down and you're like, okay, man. Looking at these actual games, it doesn't necessarily feel like they're doing all that great. I've got some questions about the bench. Murray hasn't been awesome, and Porter's scored 5 points in the last two games each. And like, and you look up and like, yeah, they could potentially be 22-6. Now, and also, they have to do
this. This is the first Doc Rivers game as well. So I do think it's going to be a really fun game just because, which again, why is this not on national television? Like, you couldn't move anything. Like, you got Doc, Dame, and wait a minute. So this is what you're telling me. So you have two of the last three finals MVPs. You have two all-star starters for the Bucks and a Hall of Fame head coach and one of the best three coaches in the league. How you feel about Michael Malone? That doesn't make any sense. So nothing? They got Dame on the team that's played versus Denver for a year in the playoffs twice, and you just thought, oh, not worth the TV game.
Not worth it. Just clearly. Now, to be fair, they decided the schedule before he was going to the Bucks. I don't want to but they could have flexed it. They absolutely could have. Like, this could have been a thing. And they just decided.
I would have been fine if they would have flexed the 76ers game to Telemundo.
Yeah, true TV.
Sat out. Yeah, something. They could have put it on Spike if they wanted to. And I would have been completely fine with that because
that would have been awesome.
That wasn't a game that needed to be watched.
That was so funny. Oh, my gosh. Here's the thing. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the Nuggets have struggled with the Bucks in the first game of their matchup, regardless of whether it's home or away. And then they have been better, and they've won the second matchup pretty much every single time. They usually split between those two teams, and they will lose the first matchup and win the second.
They lost last year because they sat four starters. Remember, that's when AG had 33 points in that game.
Now that was that. So I agree with you, but the year before, like Murray and like, actually, oh no, that was not, yeah, like a Murray healthy year.
No, sir. That was 21.
I'm remembering 21 where Murray. Yeah, so
the Bucks won by like four in Denver, and then the Nuggets went there and you had like a 30 point triple double or something.
Yeah. So like, I think there is at least a possibility that like, look, Dame and Giannis unstoppable kind of pick and roll. Like you're going downhill and Dame catches fire. Then look, I think that it's like a 50-50 game in my opinion. I don't necessarily think that it's a massive advantage because like I said, I don't think that Denver's in great form right now, despite the fact that their record, as you mentioned, is pretty good. And then I think the Thunder game is a 50-50 game as well. Like they will go harder in that one than they will in the Bucks game, I believe. But like, I think that it's still 50-50 because I respect what the Thunder have done and they could just hit all the threes. And if they hit all the threes, then they're probably going to win. So.
The Thunder game's on, let's see, BSOC. I think that's the Thunder local television.
BSOC, so, baby.
Yeah, neither one of these. Oh, that's Bally Sports, okay, Oklahoma City. So neither one of these games are going to be on national television. So, So we get, but to be fair, okay, everybody listen up. So the first for the game, not on national television, but the second one is. But guess what's going to be on Cinemax and TNT? Denver Nuggets versus the Los Angeles Lakers. Do the Lakers get their revenge in LA? With who's doing that game? So that's TNT?
That'll be
Reggie Miller.
Yeah. No, that'll be
Reggie Miller and who's with them?
It would probably be Kevin Harlan, right?
Kevin Harlan.
Yeah.
Reggie Miller, Kevin Harlan. He gets Shaq and Charles. For that, man.
That'll be fun.
It's just so backwards, man. Like, bro. Like, this is like the if the defending champions last year, the Chiefs have to play the Giants on national television, but the Chiefs Buffalo is going to be on local television.
Well, I mean, it's still LeBron, as you know. LeBron's your guy. Like
I think the Lakers win that game, by the way, just to be great. I think the Lakers win that game in LA. They've beaten them six straight games. They're not winning that. They're not going to win that game.
I predict that Denver goes 3-1 in this four game stretch. I think that
he thinks they lose to the Portland Trail Blazers, Shaw.
if there's one I'd pick, it's at least a possibility. But I think I think it's possible that they lose to the Bucks. I think it's possible that they lose to the Thunder. I think it's possible that they lose the second of those Portland games. But, like, will they? I don't know. So, like, I'm going to go safe and say 3-1. I think it's more likely that they don't go 4-0. But, like, look, hey, if they do go 4-0, that's a big win. That's a big win even during this stretch. Like, the Thunder at the Thunder is such a big one because that is really double jeopardy because you're going to lose the tiebreaker if you lose that game and you drop a game below the Thunder in the standings because you're playing against each other. So, like, I think Denver, they got to go get that one. That's a big one if you really care about being a one seed or not.
Well, and they're a full game back at the Thunder, too. So they win versus the Bucks, they beat the Thunder. They're the clear number one seed at that point. And then the Timberwolves are a half game back. The Timberwolves have lost two games now to Charlotte and the Spurs that are at the bottom of the barrel. So they're not looking super hot right now. But then, you know, but yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, Denver's fourth right now. It's wild to think about. But Denver's quite literally the four seed.
Well, that's because they play more games than the Clippers and they have one more loss.
Right, but like I think it's very fair to assume that the Clippers, especially with the way they're playing, like they could go 3-0 because I think they've played three fewer games. If they go 3-0, then they've got a better record than Denver. Like, it's fair. It's understandable.
Yeah, great for them. I hope they keep doing it.
That's what I'm saying. It's like
one of us said that the Clippers could beat the Lakers at the series of the James Harden trade. So I'm fine with that. The Clippers are great.
I did not think that the Clippers would kind of rise to this, but like the game that they played yesterday. Just demolishing the Celtics at Boston that's an impressive one, man. Like that's crazy.
Kristoff obviously was a big deal, but like, yeah, I mean, they took it to them and the Celtics like couldn't make a three.
Even close. That shit was wild. Like,
but again, this is the thing about, I'm not going to rant on the Celtics, but yes, the Clippers look very good. They look very good. The Suns are looking good. They won six straight games. No, they had won six straight and then they lost to Siakam. And the Pacers, and then now you got the Kings that are so really the West is stacked at the top. You got basically four teams that are on pace to win like 54 games.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, imagine being in the West. Imagine playing Western Conference games and still like being able to
first round series versus Zion and BI or Luka or LeBron and AD, like
Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. Right. Who would probably go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like,
right.
It's pretty clear. So, I don't know, man. Going to be tough, but this was a good episode. I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed talking with you as always. Any final parting thoughts before we get out of here?
Nah, man. It's been a good week. Should be a great week of basketball. Ryan and I will be recording more episodes for y'all on Tuesday, I believe, and we'll both be there at the Bucks game, and we'll keep it moving from here.
Who you got? Who you got today in football?
Man, it's tough, man. A quarterback like Lamar taking the Mahomes would be a lot, but I do think the Ravens should win. I'm gonna pick with my heart. Not that I don't like Mahomes. I love Mahomes, so I don't care about that. But I'm picking Ravens. I'm picking 49ers, and I think that's gonna be a rematch of the regular season matchup. And I cannot wait. And even the Chiefs 49ers would be a great Super Bowl. So I'm winning.
Yeah, and I mean, this is like I can't lose here because like Lamar, I love Lamar and what he means for the NFL. I think what he's done is incredibly important. I also just like value what Patrick Mahomes has done, and like I'm not gonna sit here and be like a Broncos fan that's like anybody but the Chiefs, anybody but Patrick Mahomes. Like, I think Patrick Mahomes is sick. So well, like
I don't, but even I don't have those feelings about the Chiefs. I have them about the Raiders.
Yeah,
The Chiefs. Like I don't like. They're completely like it is what it is. Like the Chiefs are just like they're whatever. I feel like growing up, it was always the Raiders. Like I'd never wanted to nothing nowhere. Remember, the Broncos two of their most embarrassing losses ever. They lost 59-17 to the Raiders when they had what was that running back out of Arkansas, bro?
Darren McFadden.
Yes, remember he ran all over them. Yeah. Right before they got like Von Miller
on that ass. And like the fact that Denver lost to the Raiders twice this year. Is disgusting. Like the Broncos should be completely ashamed of themselves. But like, look, I mean, I played with Christian for those that don't know, like I played with Christian and Valor here locally, Christian McCaffrey. And so I'm always going to support like him playing and like what he does. So I want the 49ers to win. I want him to get a Super Bowl MVP. And like, if he did it against the Ravens, like that would be freaking insane. That would be insane with the way that the Ravens defense has been this year. Like, I don't know if it's going to happen, but like, if it's against Patrick Mahomes, then like, damn, that's just crazy too. So
yeah, man, I love it, man. Ryan's two favorite players and made sports in America, Christian McCaffrey and Nikola Jokic. That's gonna do it for Mile High Sports. Another great episode of Squeak.
Whitely so. It's oh man, thank you everybody for tuning in. Really appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. As always, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button down below. Would really appreciate it. We will talk to you guys next week.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.